13 minutes until the floodgates open and NHL free agency starts. We are live at the Winnipeg Free Press News Cafe. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by my colleagues, Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. You can follow us on Twitter, at Legal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.IllegalCurve.com. We have gone through the goaltenders. We've gone through the forwards. It's time to talk about the free agent defensemen that are going to come up for auction in a matter of mere minutes. It starts when you're talking about the defenseman with Ryan Suter.
Yep.
Ex of the Nashville Predators. He still might end up as a Nashville Predator, but he is open to hearing bids. Where do you think Ryan Suter ends up? What do you think he's going to sign for?
I do think Philly's going to make a big push for Ryan Suter to fill out that spot left by Chris Pronger. I know there were rumors that he's not going to the Eastern Conference, but Kevin Allen kind of said in our show yesterday he didn't necessarily believe that. I think Ryan Suter will be a decision between Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Detroit. And you're talking about the same players here, big cities with lots of money to spend. I think those are the three cities that he'll give a lot of time to. I don't know if a team like Edmonton is going to try and throw a lot of money at a guy like that and try and fix things because, you know, they have forwards to sign over the next little while. But I think lots of teams will make a call on it, but I think he goes to one of those big teams, Detroit, Philly, or Pittsburgh.
I'd have to agree with that. And I think you could even shorten that to Detroit. No, I'm just kidding. But I think those are probably the three teams. It's not like... It's not like it's a secret that the Detroit Red Wings are going to try to replace Nick Lidstrom. It's just not a secret at all, but I think...
They have to. Yeah, you look at the Red Wings roster, if they don't replace Nick Lidstrom...
They have to.
Then they're in some trouble.
I think, quickly going on to the other defenseman out there, I think at the top of that class has to be Matt Carl. And, you know, Richie mentioned that Philadelphia is going to make a push for Ryan Suter. I'd have to think that that depends on if they can't sign Carl. Do you think they could go for both?
Because I think what Philly always does is go after the guy they want and worry about the ramifications later.
Well, because it's worth pointing out that in the off season, the time from starting July 1st through probably the, I guess it's Labor Day around there, you can be 10% over the salary cap. So your salary cap right now is really $77 million, and at that point, and it's only by the middle of September that you have to drop it down to the $70 million time frame. So you have a little bit of extra flexibility available to you during this time frame. So you're right, Philadelphia, and they've done it in the past, is get it done now, and we'll worry about how we have to get under the cap, be it through another trade or by dumping a guy into the minors or whatever it may be. And Philadelphia will do it. And, you know, Philadelphia is a team, they don't stand on ceremony. They target guys, and they target multiple guys, and they go and get them.
And as they should.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as they should is absolutely right in that sense of the equation. Other defensemen who are up for grabs, who else do you like that is jumping out at you as a guy that you think might be a little bit under the radar as a potential?
What about this? What about Bryce Salvador? I mean, Bryce Salvador, you guys know how much I like him. He's from Brandon. He was excellent in these past playoffs, physical defenseman. He's a UFA, and I have to imagine that Bryce Salvador wants to stay in New Jersey, Richie, but again, there's the uncertainty. Parise is leaving. Is Brodeur going to leave? What Rich Shear of the New York Star-Ledger was saying is that Bryce Salvador is basically waiting to see what happens with Brodeur and Parise.
Well, because he's a guy
that could help a lot of teams, Drew. I mean, that's a very physical defenseman.
And he made himself some money.
Yep.
The way he played in the playoffs. Yep. He was very good for New Jersey in the playoffs.
There's a lot of teams that could use him, and he's another guy. I mean, and going back to some other defensemen, too, that what we're hearing is that a team like Vancouver really wants Jason Garrison, which,
Vancouver, apparently they've been on his heels for more than a year now.
There are some guys out there. There are some defensemen out there.
The Jets, as they currently stand, have a roster of Bufflin, Bogosian, and if they want to bring a guy like Postma up to the right side, so say that's the right side of your defense, is Bufflin, Bogosian, and Postma. Then your left side is Enstrom, Hainsey, Stewart, and then Klitsam as your seven guy. You know, is that the lineup they're going into the offseason with, or into the next season with? And Enstrom either needs to sign or be traded, I think. So some guy, there's two ways to go, but I think they're going to need a left side defenseman if they decide to trade Enstrom. And I think it never hurts to have a lot of defensemen under contract. So two guys I think the Jets should be making calls on. One's Carlo Colaiacovo, who's a good skating, can move the puck. He gets injured a lot, but if you're going to have a lot of depth on the back end, then you're not as worried about that. And you're not, it's not going to cost you too much in terms of, money and term. And then the other one would be Greg Zanin, a guy who can be a little more of a defensive guy, a shot-blocking type, kind of a Mark Stewart type, a little bit better than Mark Stewart.
You're high on Greg Zanin. You like his game.
I think both those guys aren't going to cost you a heck of a lot, and they can provide different elements, and I think they're guys that they should make a call on because they're going to need to help that left side there. And, you know, Postma has improved defensively, as what we've heard in speaking to Keith McCambridge. Bufflin's not great defensively, and Enstrom's all right. But you know, you can the name values only go so far, right? Because you need to be able to play defense, and Hainsey, you know, has his days too. So, if I were the Jets, I'd be looking at the left side defenseman like a Colaiacovo. A guy can play on Colaiacovo. I wonder if he can play both sides. I don't remember, but Zanin's a left side guy, and both left-handed shooting guys who provide different elements, and I think are guys the Jets should be making calls on.
Well, when Brian Munns was here, he mentioned Derek Meech. Yep. You know, and Derek Meech is a UFA.
Unfortunately, he had that injury.
It'll be a two-way deal, and he Derek Meech. So it's not going to be one of these guaranteed contracts that they have to worry about.
Right. He played in St. John's.
He played in St. John's. He spent and apparently he played very well in St. John's last year.
He played well in the playoffs, and then remember, he was injured for so long.
Right.
But Derek Meech is obviously a good Winnipeg story. We had him on the show last year when he signed, after he signed.
He's not playing a factor in their decisions today.
Yeah. There's going to be signings that also obviously affect, you know, St. John's. I mean, I would bet the little amount of money that I have to say that Mark Flood's going to get re-signed. And he's another guy that, you know, he's a sixth or seventh defenseman for the Jets, but he's another guy that they're very high on dating back to the Manitoba Moose days. And he's another guy that might get a one-way deal. He might get a two-way deal. But Flood is another guy that I think, you know, we might see get signed here. Not necessarily today, but in the coming days.
Bruce Garriak of the Ottawa Sun is reporting that the Sens are trying to move some depth forwards to get a defenseman, also expecting them to try and sign Brian Allen. He's ex of the Carolina.
Allen is a guy who, you know, probably will round out a top four. He's a guy that if you're Ottawa and you're going to lose Philip Kuba, then you're going to replace Kuba with a guy who doesn't move the puck as well as Kuba in Allen. But he's a little bit more physical,
he's punishing.
And a little bit more meaner.
Yeah,
you know,
Brian Allen's
kind of
a tough defenseman.
So they're both big guys who are left-handed shooting defensemen who can play your kind of four spot. I kind of think Kuba's a little bit better than Allen, but he'd be an adequate replacement.
Kuba was making big dollars.
He was. But you know what? He played really well last year.
Yeah. He had $3.7 million. My favorite free agent, I think, coming up is Jeff Finger. Jeff Finger, you remember, was
the
guy
on the all-body part team.
He's on the all-body part team, of course. And he was the guy that the Toronto Maple Leafs signed about 5 years ago. They paid him an exorbitant amount of money.
How many games did he play in the NHL? 20?
Maybe. And everybody said, who is this guy? Nobody had ever heard of him.
Hey, Jeff Finger, and they offered Jeff Finger a four-year deal, and Jeff Finger said, I'll take it.
Yeah. And was that John Ferguson Jr.?
John Ferguson Jr., I think it was.
It was because
Brooke came over, and you know, as soon as he came out, I don't want to say that John Ferguson made a bad move by signing. It's like, well, then we'll say it.
For restricted, exactly, we can say it, the fans can say it. For anybody who wants to sign a restricted free agent or make him an offer sheet, if you make him an offer for more than $8.41 million mm-hmm. per year, that comes with four first-round draft picks as compensation. So that's the price you're going to have to pay if you want to get an RFA offer sheet. There has not been an RFA offer sheet signed to anybody since Nicholas Chalmerson in Chicago was signed by to one by San Jose.
San Jose.
Yeah,
that's right.
And the Blackhawks ended up matching that. And
teams that,
and now they're trying to get out from under that contract.
Teams that are worried about like Vancouver with Schneider, because if they gave a guy, you know, gave him $5 or $6 million and nobody would take Luongo, then you'd have too much money in net. They signed these guys before July 1st.
If nobody gave Steven Stamkos an offer sheet last year, it's unlikely that somebody's getting an offer sheet. You know, the restricted free agency offer sheet is there. It's in the CBA, but it's one of those things that's not used. And I don't know if that's necessarily because Brian Burke will threaten to fight you in a barn afterwards if you use it.
Well, it's that, and these guys are worried about burning bridges for future deals, even though it's within their rights. It's similar to kind of the Justin Schultz thing. It's within the rights of the player. It's within the rights of the GM, but it doesn't look good. The optics aren't good.
The optics are not good. Other defensemen that jump out at me actually, that's what I might want to say. Scott Clemenson. There are a lot of rumors on Twitter, and it's being worked on by the Florida Panthers beat writers to confirm it, that he may have re-signed with the Florida Panthers.
Okay.
Scott Clemenson may have re-signed, not confirmed of yet. That happens, then that really blows
Jose
up any
door. Is gone.
Because it gives them two guaranteed contracts in net, so they probably are out on Luongo, and then they have Markstrom in the system.
Might go back with the same goaltending tandem you went with last year.
The way it looks right now, guys, I mean, I think there's a significant possibility that Roberto Luongo is
a Chicago Wolf.
No, is playing with the Vancouver Canucks.
Would they keep him on the roster? Or would they send
him
to Chicago?
Keep him on the roster, Drew. He's been a great goal.
You can't send him down to the AHL.
You can't send him down to the AHL. You can't.
No, I'm not so sure about that, boys.
Maybe they're hoping for an amnesty clause in the new CBA, which I think is stupid, by the way,
to get out from under one bad contract.
Bad GM moves get off the hook, but.
Well, essentially, Drew, I can see why you could see that happening because of the salary cap relief. But if you're sending him down to the AHL...
Confirmed. Scott Clemenson is confirmed to have re-signed with the Florida Panthers, just waiting for the paperwork to be signed.
I was just going to say, Drew, quickly, essentially what you're doing is you've signed a guy to a 12-year deal, and now you're sending him down to the AHL because of your own mistake.
They did it with Wade Redden.
Twitter is going crazy.
It is going crazy.
Is it over capacity?
No, not quite, but I think it's getting to be pretty close. Let's go to break. When we come back, the free agency market will have opened up, and the feeding frenzy will have begun. You're listening to the NHL Free Agent Frenzy Special here on TSN 1290. We're live at the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe. Welcome back. The free agency market has opened up in the NHL. The feeding frenzy has begun. The general managers are throwing money at people left, right, and center. Marty Brodeur is officially an unrestricted free agent at the moment. He is hitting the market. It is going to be probably a chaotic next 90 minutes or so, we're hoping, as we see these free agents come off of the market. We're live at the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. Gentlemen, if you had to pick one under-the-radar guy right now, who's your target?
Did we just say that?
No.
In terms of just player?
Just a player, any player. For the Winnipeg Jets, an under-the-radar guy.
Well, Drew, I think it goes back to the forwards, because I think you can find some guys down there that actually can do something for you at a fairly reasonable price, so long as it is a fairly reasonable price. If you're looking for a guy like to score some goals and do some little things, I really do think that a player such as Guillaume Lafrenière can really be a nice under-the-radar fit for them. He's a big guy. He can play both wings. He'd be a guy that I think that the team should make calls on and see what it'll cost. And the other guys, you kind of know what you're getting. Like a guy like Jay McClellan, for example, would be a nice valuable player, but he's replicated. That's a Jim Slater type of player, so you're not going to sign a guy like that to fill a role that you just signed Jimmy Slater for. But Dominic Moore is the kind of same idea, right?
Right.
My colleague and we had on the show yesterday, Daniel Winnick, would be an interesting choice for some teams who need a big guy on the wing who can kind of play both ways. But there aren't too many low, under the radar players here. And you look at a lot of the guys, you know what you're getting. And it's
I throw in a Colby Armstrong in there as well.
Yeah,
we mentioned him yesterday.
Colby Armstrong, but what does it cost to get him, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have the details yet. Michael Layton has re-signed with the Philadelphia Flyers. If he is re-signed as Ilya Bryzgalov's backup and not as their AHL goaltender, then the Flyers' goaltending has just got even that much more comical.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They have issues in net, we know that, right? But we talked about Mueller before as well as being a player. But, who else? And you're looking at the list, Drew. The list is almost all veterans.
Well, you look at it, and it's guys who are definitely in the 30s.
And Holmstrom and Brunette and Knubel, all these guys are not... They're at the end of their rope here. So if you're looking for the value guys, it's the younger guys who've been released out of their contracts who do have some talent.
Benoit Pouliot, 1 year, $1.8 million, just re-signed with Tampa Bay. They acquired him. Was that at the draft?
Yes.
Yes, they acquired him at the draft. So Benoit Pouliot is off the board at 1 year and $1.8 million.
Yeah, I mean, Benoit Pouliot is another guy that was a high draft pick. And, he bounced around from team to team. Montreal, he had some success. And, maybe on a team like Tampa Bay, he's able to, be somewhat consistent on the third line for them. We'll see what happens. But up until
they said they're going to put him on the second line and let him go, I think, with Lecavalier there. You'll see. The guy, he's a teaser, right? Because he's got all the talent in the world. He's big, he can skate, he can handle the puck, he can shoot. But he can't put it all together.
He's never put it all together at the NHL level. Yeah. Richie, you're right about that.
It'll be just trying to keep track of it all, trying to keep ahead on everything on Twitter. It's just going ballistic with everybody getting ready to get started here.
When you look at
Parise and Suter, do you think they get done quickly? Do you think they get done today?
No, they said they think, what's it, Suter's waiting until July 9th to sign, I think was what they said.
No, it was Shane Doan.
Apparently they're waiting. Suter's also said he's waiting for at least a week to 10 days to make a decision,
which
I read this morning at least.
Which is probably a reasonable idea. If you're going to make a life-changing decision for, you know,
I'll pull it up here.
You know, he's making a life-changing decision because he's making a commitment to a team probably for, you know, probably a decade.
Yeah, maybe, Ryan Suter's sweepstakes will likely drag into next week is what we hear. Parise, though, somebody's going to give him the money, and that's the thing. You know, the reason these guys sign, we talked about it yesterday, I think it was at the end of the night. You know, the reason these guys sign so quickly is because teams come up and they have three guys they target, and they put an offer on the table for a certain amount of time, and they don't want to get left out to dry, so they don't want to not be able to sign all three of them. So they give an offer, they say, this is how long you have to accept it. If you don't give us an answer, we're going to go to the next guy. We're going to go to the next guy. So at the end, they're not left with nothing.
And
that's
especially,
how they do it.
Especially
right.
with Parise and his agent asking for a signing bonus and a certain amount. Parise wants a nice deal here. He wants probably 5 years, 7 years. Probably wants something
minimum,
right?
At this point in time, everybody gets 7 years. Even if you're mediocre, you get 7 years. So, you know, if you're a guy like Parise, you're a guy like Suter, you know, who are really team change. I mean, it's one thing to give a guy like Jordan Staal. Jordan Staal got a 10-year deal earlier today. He's 23 years old.
Yeah. Yep.
You're not, barring some really unfortunate injuries to him, you're not going to probably regret that contract because he does have top six talent. And he's going, you know, $6 million for the next 10 years. You know, you're out under that contract when he's 33 years old. You're okay with that.
You know, boys, a guy that we didn't really talk about that much, and when I wrote an article of some of the UFA forwards the Jets should target, along with Parenteau, I mentioned Yuri Hudler. And he's a guy that went to the KHL, and he's played the last 2 years with the Detroit Red Wings. I believe he was making around $3 million a year last year. So he'd be a little bit expensive, you know, a guy for the Jets. But I see a guy like him attracting some interest because he's a center. He's not a first-line center, but he's probably a guy that can get you, you know, in the vicinity of, I think he had around 25 goals last year. So Yuri Hudler is another guy that we could see move here and would be interesting for the Jets, who obviously need an upgrade at second-line center.
Well, there's a guy who's a good stick handler, not big. He's more of a power play, you know, offensive guy. Second-line wing is probably where you want to throw him. He'll improve your power play. He's a good passer. He's good creative. He's poor defensively. So, I mean, he's not going to add to your size. He's an offensive guy.
Yep.
And there's certainly a market for him. But Mike Babcock never liked him, never could trust him in the situations he wanted to.
What does that tell you about a player if Mike Babcock...
Well, you know what, Drew? I mean, it does tell you certain, you know, he's not that Detroit player and he didn't buy into it, but do all good teams have players who buy into both ways, right?
It's a fair question, but he is a guy. I mean, you know, people seem to think that he is a guy that the Jets may be interested in going after. You know,
Hudler?
Yeah,
they could do worse for sure. He'd be a nice addition, but
well,
I mean,
he's got talent.
He's not the end of the rating. He's, you know, he's a top five forward here.
Yeah, well, and he's got talent. And I mean, you look at the Jets roster up and down. There's not that many.
Oh, he'd look great on that. If they keep Wheeler, Little, and Ladd together, he'd look great on a line with Evander Kane because he's a passer. Of course he'd look great. That'd be a great signing. But how much is it going to cost him? Is it going to cost you $25 million to sign Yuri Hudler today?
Yeah.
Who knows? These contracts are nuts.
Well, then that's the problem. I mean, unfortunately, everybody plays under the same rules. So even if the contracts are nuts, if you want, you can't always build through the draft constantly. At some point in time, you're going to have to overpay for a free agent. I mean, because everybody in free agency is overpaid. You just have to live with that and consider and just, you know, go with it and say...
Depends on how old he is, right?
Well, I mean, it's one thing overpaying for a guy who's 38 years old, and it's another thing overpaying for a guy who's, you know, in his mid-20s or whatever. You know, you can probably get away with the guy who's in his mid-20s a lot easier.
Well,
how old is Hudler?
Hudler, I think, is 26 or 27.
I'll pull it up right now.
So, I mean,
it's an interesting market, though, Drew. You know, on that topic, I mean, this free agent market that we're in right now is a really weird market because, you know, we've had... I mean, there's been you know, over a decade of
28
of guys getting, you know, possibly more money than they should be getting on, you know, based on their skills. I mean, look at back in the day. Remember, Chris Gratton got the $10 million bonus, and then I think he was a 30-point player for the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. This isn't a new thing, but it seems like, you know, going back to a guy like Dennis Wiedemann signing with the Calgary Flames, you're kind of scratching your head. A guy, 30-year-old defenseman who, you know, put together a couple of decent 40-point seasons, getting $5 million a year. But I guess that's what it takes when you're trying to upgrade it at different positions. And, you know, we'll see what happens today, but it's a limited market.
You mentioned Ray Whitney earlier as a guy who's going to hit the free agency market. Mm-hmm. Mark Spector, and this is just speculation, okay, is saying that in his opinion, and you know he's a guy who's in the know, he says he thinks that Ray Whitney signing in Carolina is a lock. That's the word. That's his words.
Oh, I mentioned that.
That's what I just said.
Oh.
Yeah. He was very.
Maybe he got that idea. Maybe the Carolina Hurricanes were listening.
That's
maybe got
that's
the idea
right.
from
yes.
me.
That,
I doubt it.
That's
much.
That's likely how it happened there. I think is what happened.
Wouldn't that be a scary thing if people actually took me seriously?
We don't.
That's good.
We don't take you seriously, and we're sitting next to you. Michael Layton, one-year deal, $900,000 with the Philadelphia Flyers, apparently. That's according to...
Well, they're replacing Bobrovsky as the backup.
Yeah.
You know what, to be honest with you...
With a far worse backup.
I wouldn't say that.
You don't think that Michael Layton is a far worse backup than Sergei Bobrovsky?
I wouldn't say far worse.
He's not better.
Bobrovsky has got at least 20-something years old with a lot of talent, potentially, and Michael Layton was never an NHL goaltender. Even when he took them to the cup, he did that. I mean, that was smoke and mirrors at best. Scott Clemenson deal, 2 years in Florida. So you got him for 2 years.
You have Theodore for one, and then you have Markstrom coming in, the year after for Theodore. Although Theodore's not making enough that it'll deter them from really doing something if they really wanted to. I think, though, that signifies that this Florida Panthers roster, this Florida Panthers team, Dale Talon, said, okay, Mike Gillis, see you later.
Yeah.
Deal with Roberto Luongo's 10-year deal yourself. And now there's two guys dancing right there together. And Brian Burke and Mike Gillis, who don't like each other, who in the past haven't even negotiated with each other because of the hatred between them. So, and if you're Toronto...
Nonis's relation? Dave Nonis, the assistant GM in Toronto.
Nonis is the one who deals with Gillis.
I was going to say, yeah.
The assistant GM's talk. I think the relationship has been a little bit better lately, but they're not the best of friends, put it that way. So what's the negotiation going to be like, and what are you giving up? And if you're the Leafs right now, you say... Well, if you want Luongo, you say, you have nobody else to take him. I'm not giving you anything.
Scott Clemenson, $1.4 million is what he got to re-sign in Florida.
And you know, we talked about before the offer sheets. The reason that the Schneider was signed to the contract before July 1 was because they were worried about an offer sheet.
Sure.
But it also puts them in a tough position this way, in that they have that $9-plus million locked up in goaltending, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows that there's no other option for them right now. They're not going to trade Schneider after signing into that.
No.
The only thing they can do is trade Luongo or go into next season. They're not going to throw him in the AHL. You can't throw a top 10 NHL netminder in the AHL.
They shouldn't, but they can. It is within their rights to do so.
They're not, but Drew, this is the problem, right? If you throw Luongo into the AHL and then Schneider gets hurt and you bring Luongo up, somebody's going to claim him at half the price.
You're right. I mean, they're not in that much salary cap trouble that they have to do it.
And who are you going to bring in? Are you going to bring in, why am I forgetting his name? The former Moose goaltender.
Eddie Lack.
No.
Over him, even if Eddie Lack's playing well, he's not Luongo. So you're giving up those points in the standings for those games in the season. And I realize it's cost benefit based on how much he's making, but it doesn't look good also. Oh. So there's many factors here.
Before we go to break,
you have a little bit of a veteran team, and that in the locker room and also late in the season. Now, of course, you can bring a guy up after the season's over and not have to count against his cap, against the cap. But
right,
that's we're getting far along there.
Do you think there's a possibility? Here's a guy we haven't talked about, and he's sort of under the radar a little bit bizarrely. Jaromir Jagr. He had a good year in Philadelphia last year. He was tired by the end of the season.
Yes.
Do you see him staying in Philly, or where do you see him going?
You know, he's hitting the market here.
What about back to Pittsburgh?
And I think the thing about Jagr is he's not fast enough right now. He's just too slow. So you got to play him with really fast players. He's probably more of a second line player now than a first liner, obviously. So do I think he goes back to Philly? I think if he got to the point that he's at, he probably doesn't go back to Philly. I think a team that wants to add a veteran guy who can add some scoring and play on the power play is going to bring him in. And there's a lot of guys who could bring in a guy like that, especially a lot of teams that can bring in a guy like that, especially because he probably won't be asking for too much cash. The rumor, of course, was that Jágr lost all his money and then he went to the KHL to kind of make it back because he hasn't been known to be bad with money. That's the rumor.
No, he certainly wasn't interested
in
gambling.
And then he came back and made some money, obviously. So maybe he's going to go to the highest bidder.
We should mention, this just came in. Scott Brown tweeted, the Jets have agreed to terms with the defense with Derek Meach. We've got our first signing.
There you go. Derek Meach re-signs with the Winnipeg Jets. We had speculated that that was going to be a possibility. Scott Brown, the communications director with the Winnipeg Jets, confirms Derek Meach has re-signed with the Winnipeg Jets. Terms not released as of yet, but we'll get those up there as soon as we can.
It'll be a two-way deal.
Yeah,
it'll be exactly what he made last year, so I'll pull that up right
probably
now.
Probably, what, $700,000 when he plays in the NHL?
Yeah, you know, the minimum goes up every year, right?
So it's about $700,000 to play in the NHL and about probably $95,000 to play in the AHL, something along those lines.
So no surprise there. Yeah, his AHL salary is $100,000. His NHL salary was last year seven. Yeah. So 105 and seven.
105,000 in the AHL, 700,000 in the NHL. We expect that that's what Derek Meach is going to sign for. He did officially sign. We just don't know the official figures as of yet. Let's go to break. When we come back, much more in what is turning out to be a busy morning so far. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our free agent special. We're live on location at the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at the Winnipeg Free Press News Cafe. Before we went to break, the Jets had re-signed Derek Meach to a one-year, two-way contract. The St. John's Ice Caps have also made a signing. They've agreed to terms with Jason King. So he's going to stay on an AHL-only contract. Jason King's been a guy who's been around that organization for a while now.
Yeah, Jason King is a guy who played for the Moose way back. So
exactly.
And for the Vancouver Canucks organization. He'll be seeing a nice AHL signing for the team.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, rounding out some depth here at the AHL level. I'm just reading through some of the tweets here. No other signings as we continue to wait and refresh our Twitter pages and watch the coverage throughout everywhere you're looking. It is a busy day in the hockey world.
Pierre LeBrun.
Here's the deal, yeah.
Exactly what we said. Exactly.
It's the same contract from last year. $700,000 for Derek Meach when he's in the NHL. $105,000 when he's in the AHL. So he took the same contract and he re-signed for another year.
It's good for Derek Meach.
Yeah, it's a comfortable situation for Derek, so I'm sure
he's not a bad living.
No, it's not a bad living. Even in the AHL, playing hockey for $105,000, something that I would do. And Ezzy, I know that you held out for more money than that last time you had
to resign. And then I had to go to the Japanese league and prove myself there before I could make the AHL. That's right, Drew.
Exactly. You know, that was a poorly played out hand on your thing, if you wanted, but that's okay.
I drank a lot of Sapporo, though.
Well, you spent all your money on Sapporo, I think, if I recall correctly, and that didn't work out so well for you. Looking at the rest of the list here, the free agents, they're all, you know, available for you. Dustin Penner rumored that the Montreal Canadiens might be making a strong bid after Dustin Penner. They need size.
I mean, doesn't play big necessarily, but they do need size, and he's a guy that that he's got talent. He has played well in Edmonton before. Obviously, LA didn't play well until the playoffs. But
and the
number will be really interesting to see. Brett Sutter also re-signed with Carolina for 1 year at $550,000. So one Sutter gone, but another Sutter maintained.
Certainly no shortage of Sutters available in the NHL. And the Jets just got one in drafting Lucas Sutter in the NHL entry draft.
And Yann Denny also signed with the Oilers, which I thought was a nice signing.
Denny's going to be there. I think he'll be their AHL goaltender in Oklahoma City, probably.
Yep.
Well, no, I guess now.
Because Habib Boulin's still under.
They retain him in the system, and he's a guy some people are high on. So, Denny and Ryan Smith re-signing at Edmonton, and obviously bringing in Schultz. And it's been a nice little past few hours, or I guess day. And for Oilers fans, and there hasn't been too many of those lately.
And now, you know,
they are. Every time they win the NHL lottery, it's a good day for the Oilers fans.
Yakupov and those guys. So, yeah, sure. No, it's been nice for the Oilers fans.
Yeah, I agree with you in that sense completely. It'll be interesting. I mean, you look at the list of players who are available, and, you know, everybody's sort of keeping their powder a little bit dry. Yeah, let me ask this question. I know that free agency officially opens at 11 a.m. Central Time. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, you're not allowed to have any conversations with potential free agents because they're under contract to a team still. How much behind-the-scenes negotiating do you think goes on?
I'm sure there's a lot, but nothing on the record, of course. There's the Kevin Garnett issue in the NBA has demonstrated to us that the penalties are exorbitant for tampering. So if ever you hear a player, you know, GM asked about another team's player, you know, was it Brian Burke was asked the other day about what he thought about Roberto Luongo. Immediately, I mean, you can't comment on that, so it's a stupid question. You can't comment on other teams' players. So
right, and just a bit, I mean, it's amazing sometimes, and it hasn't happened today so far. I mean, we're 22 minutes into free agency, yeah, and there haven't been any real significant signings.
And everybody listening out there, you know, don't get too excited. Chill out. We're only 20 minutes in. There's going to be some signings. Might not be Parise, might not be Suter, but there'll be a few. You know, keep listening. Be patient.
Thanks.
It's very early.
Yeah,
it's very early. It 20 is. Minutes is nothing.
Well, I mean, but sometimes you see in sometimes, especially in the hockey world, you've seen it before, where, you know, 2 minutes after free agency opens, a guy signs a huge contract. And so you're telling me that everybody doesn't know that there's behind the scenes negotiations happening at that
point
in time.
Yeah, of course.
And they always just turn a blind eye to it. They never actually look into it.
Oh, you know, you could even say keep your phone on after 11. Like, that's not tampering, but it's leads into a possible offer and interest, right?
Right.
Would that be considered tampering?
Well,
I'd say unlikely.
I don't know why don't they do it like the NHL, the NBA does it? The NBA's free agency period opens.
Who wrote
today.
That article this week about
it was Elliot Friedman. I think it was at the top of 30 thoughts by Elliot Friedman. NBA does is you can start talking to free agents.
Let's get
today.
In here quickly. Among the many teams pitching on Zach Parise includes the Winnipeg Jets, says Darren Dreger.
Well, that'll
23
be.
Seconds ago.
So, I mean, the Jets.
And we have talked about that in the show. We had heard whispers of that throughout the year, was that the Jets were going to try and go after Parise and work the UND angle into it, going to this, playing for the Sioux, being from Minnesota, having Minnesota players like Stewart and Wheeler and Bufflin on the team, being close to home, being a. But that's big money. So if the Jets are going to make a call, they better open the checkbook.
Well, Richie, even if the Detroit Red Wings and the Pittsburgh Penguins and the LA Kings are the front runners at this point, probably with the Detroit Red Wings and the Pittsburgh Penguins above LA, it's nice to see that Chevy and Zinger are you know, making a call and they're willing to sign him and put that money out there. Is it not?
It doesn't cost you anything
to make a phone call.
Yeah, sorry.
Of course they should make a phone call. I mean, if Zach Parise ends
up... We had talked about that on the show. You know, that was the rumblings that they were going to make an offer. Now, of course... Right. We're also, I think the talk about Minnesota making an offer is overblown. I'm not so sure Minnesota's in the group now. So I guess if Minnesota's maybe not as big of a destination place, if they're not as interested in him as maybe some people think. Say that's the case, okay? We'll make that assumption for the time being. Well then, who in the Zach Parise home area? Although we've heard that he's not that connected to the Minnesota area as many people think, but who is connected to the Minnesota area? Who's close enough to the Minnesota area to make it appealing? And the Jets would play off that. They say, well, the Wild aren't that interested in you, but we're close by. We're not far from home, but we're close enough that you can have a little bit of, you know, you can fly for an hour. You have some space. We're really close to where you went to school for a couple of years at UND, and that's what they're going to pitch. But at the end of the day, when you're pitching against Detroit, Philly, and Pittsburgh, you're pitching against Sidney Crosby's wing. You're pitching against Pavel Datsyuk's wing. You're pitching against... Or sorry, I said Philly, but not Philly for Parise. But
right.
you're pitching against those. You're pitching against Mike Richards or Anze
Kopitar. You're pitching
against
Stanley Cup contenders. And
you're pitching against glamour. Well, I'm not necessarily sure that Parise wants glamour. The biggest thing you're pitching against is huge pocketbooks of Mike Ilitch, of, I forget Pittsburgh's owner's name.
Mario Lemieux?
Well, yeah, the other one is with the financing. All
yeah,
of
I know.
And then
I know.
LA is Philip Anschutz. So I don't think that you're, you know.
Richie, Craig Button has a really funny tweet right now. Note to all NHL teams, he just tweeted, if you're not interested in Zach Parise, don't tell anybody.
Well, you know, everybody's interested in him. Well, of course everybody's interested in Zach Parise. He's got top, he's got top 5 talent, top 10 talent in terms of players in the league.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not a surprise. I mean, and sure, it doesn't cost you anything to make a phone call and to, you know, then to talk to his agent and say, you know, we are interested.
You stay relevant.
You stay relevant, and you go out, and you can say to your. I mean, look, this is also a very much. There's Kevin Cheveldayoff.
It's like interviewing for a coaching, for example, coaching the in any league, and you go for an interview. You think you probably have no chance. If you can blow him away at the interview, he tells somebody that you blew him away at the interview, and the word gets around. So if the Jets make a big pitch to Parise, and they blow him away with their proposal, even though he doesn't end up signing here, he says, you know, they look good, and he tells a teammate they look good, and he tells a teammate they look good, and that's how it works.
That's right. And, I mean, it doesn't cost you anything to make the pitch. And you get out and you can, after this day is done, when they have a, you know, media availability or whatever else, they can go out and they can say, yeah, we spoke to his agent about Zach Parise. We were interested in him. We really wanted him. But, you know, he was too much money or whatever it is. And the fans can say, oh, good, they're at least trying to go out and do something. So, you know, everybody should be calling. You should be calling every free agent.
Why not? You see, exactly. But you should call on everybody to see what the price is. If there's a deal to be had and a player that fits your system.
It's a similar con. Al Davis, the former owner of the Oakland Raiders, when he would want to hire a head coach, he would interview a dozen people. And you know why he'd interview a dozen people? Because they were all assistant coaches with other teams. So he got to pick their brain and understand some of the systems that they had implemented with their other teams.
You got Mark Spector saying that teams needing defensemen should be watching Chicago. If Chicago makes a move and caps them out a little bit too much, that Chalmerson, Nicholas Chalmerson, he's a, you know, the second pairing defenseman on the Blackhawks. He'll be available for picks and prospects. And they say picks and prospects because you don't want to take money back, right?
Right.
So that's not on the NHL salary cap if it's a prospect or a draft pick.
And Chicago had been a destination where people had said, you know, they're looking to be more active, but they have problems on their defense and they have cap issues. And Chalmerson's a guy they'd wanted to get rid of. So I mean, not a surprise there as well. Tell you what, let's go to break. When we come back, we got more. We'll have more signings, hopefully, and more free agency chatter. We are live at the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe. You're listening to TSN 1290. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show's free agency special. Welcome back to continuing coverage of NHL free agency frenzy here at the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe and on TSN 1290. A tweet from the Minnesota Wild. From the Wild War Room, the Minnesota Wild have submitted contract offers to free agents Zach Parise and Ryan Suter.
So from what we're hearing, we're not sure. I'm not sure whether or not that's just a PR ploy by the Wild to tell everybody that they've made offers on players that they don't think they can get to look good in the Minnesota to their Minnesota fan base. Of course, Parise being a Minnesota native and Suter being a Wisconsin boy, I think that might be, from what we're hearing, that doesn't mean it's necessarily true, is that that's an offer that is being put out there to look like the team is going to make that big
pitch. That's exactly what I think it is.
And I don't think they're going to be, what we're hearing, in the same financial ballpark as some of the other teams. But time will tell.
That would be stunning, I think, Suter would be stunning if he ended up in Minnesota.
He fits the need. He's the area, all that stuff, but just the money.
And nobody has really said anything about really Suter and, you know, Parise in Minnesota sense. You haven't heard much about Suter
in Wisconsin,
Minnesota.
And Drew, I mean, that's the connection. That's the closest place you can get to home, really.
I know, but I mean, nobody's really thought of, when they think Ryan Suter, what jumps to mind is Pittsburgh and Detroit for
Nashville.
The odd thing
to leave Nashville to go to Minnesota or something.
I would think so. I mean, the Minnesota's not close to being a competitive team.
They have a good system, but they're still a fair amount away.
Yeah. Looks like David Moss has re-signed in Calgary for 2 years.
How much?
Don't have any figures.
Okay, 2 years.
Yet.
I mean, David Moss can play wing center. Right-handed shooting guy. He's nothing special. 15 goal kind of thing.
So it's likely that's probably a 5-year, $25 million deal
Baseball. I was wondering about him, the guy who made it all the way to free agency, but he's nothing special kind of that.
Yeah, exactly. He's not anything to write home about. No. I mean, he's a depth player for the Calgary Flames more than anything. A guy that we haven't talked about, he's certainly at the tail end of his career, but he's had some successful years in the last little while. Mike Knubel. You know, it doesn't sound like he's back in Washington.
You know, he fell out of favor, obviously, in Washington last year. He lacks the foot speed. He's never been a great skater, but he's slowed down big time. So if you're looking at Mike Knubel, you're looking at your third or fourth line right wing spot. Good in the room, works hard, really good along the boards, can toss in a bit of offense, but more of a depth guy, if anything. A depth guy on a good team or a veteran presence on a younger team.
Florida Panthers have just some minor league deals. They've agreed to 1-year, two-way contracts with center Greg Rallo and goaltender Dove Grumet-Morris, who apparently is
a former Manitoba Moose.
Name rings a bell. I think
he's a cousin of yours, Drew?
He's not a cousin of mine. No, Richard, he's not a cousin of mine. But that's another guy that apparently he had some good numbers. He had better numbers than Markstrom did in San Antonio for the Panthers farm system last year. So, again, it's another... You know, another reason why you just don't see Roberto Luongo fitting in to the Florida Panthers system. Where does he fit in?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the, you know, the, not problem, but the issue.
Well, what he does, I mean, again, that's not going to get solved today, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of Luongo. Obviously, the Jets depth chart right now up on TSN, the free agent frenzy on the television coverage, and as you see right now, I mean, the Jets have needs. If you're looking at that second line, and you're looking, I mean, they have needs everywhere. Look at that roster; they have needs everywhere.
Well, right now, according to the depth chart, they have Antti Miettinen penciled in as a second line right winger.
Well, who else is there right now? Unless you move Antropov up to the right wing, which probably makes sense. Where is Miettinen?
And that's a problem. I know Miettinen got a lot of grief last year. I think that with a full year in Winnipeg and some seasoning and being settled, I think he scores 15 goals for the Jets next year.
Maybe it depends on how much ice time he gets, and his 15 goals anything based on the ice time he gets. Antti Miettinen is he's useful, but he's
Antti Miettinen is a checking forward, and I mean the Jets right now have shown that they're interested in Zach Parise, and every team is at this point.
Jonas Gustafsson, Detroit Red Wings. He has signed with the Detroit Red Wings. So
there'll be a backup
go.
For Jimmy Howard.
Yeah.
Swedish and a team full of Swedes. Johan Franzen. Well, whether or not they bring Holmstrom back, obviously Lidstrom as well. But Nicholas Cronwell. A team that's always been had a lot of Swedish players, so feel comfortable there. He's extremely talented. Natural talent. He's going to have backup role with Jimmy Howard.
Good signing for the Wings.
I think that fits well. That's a good fit. It's a good fit. And he's got a better chance of passing Howard than he does Pavlik. So,
no, Richie, just before Drew rudely interrupted me. Just kidding, Drew.
I'm sure I've at times I've rudely interrupted.
No, but I mean it's free agent frenzy. When there's a frenzy, you got to interrupt. But it's a long shot to get Parise. Let's say that. You never say never. But back to the secondary scoring. Richie and Antti Miettinen. I mean, Antti Miettinen is a defensive forward, and I mean they've got to address that. And we've talked about this before. Spencer Mrazek's a good player, but is he ready for a top six role in the NHL? Probably not.
No, he's not.
So then you're looking at the PA Parentos, and you're looking at as far as a center goes, a Yuri Hudler, and we've gone down the list. Lapton Dress. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Lapton Dress, Richie, and I think that's a really good idea. I mean, the Minnesota Wild, the reason why they didn't re-sign him is because of those injury concerns.
Yes.
But, I mean, a team like the Jets, went after Eric Fehr last year. There was injury concerns there, so maybe that's what we'll see out of the Jets. As far as the RFAs and the UFAs, we're expecting, a few of those guys to be re-signed in the next day or week.
Aaron Portsline, as he's saying, that Gustafsson is 2 years, 1.5 per.
Which is even a little bit more than we thought he'd get.
Yeah.
Based on his performance.
So clearly he's well thought of around the league.
Yeah, there might have been a small scale bidding war, but
I thought it'd be less than that on a 2-year deal.
But you know what? For $1.5 million, you're not upset about that. It's a 2-year deal,
and you're not paying. Jimmy
and you're
Howard
Detroit,
much.
And maybe he, with everything, if they get Suter in front of him, all of a sudden, I bet you Jonas Gustafsson and Jimmy Howard look a lot better as goaltenders. For $1.5 million for Jonas Gustafsson, you're not worried about that. You're not thinking twice about that. Yeah, you make enough. That deal, and if you're Detroit, you're fine.
You got upside, right? That's the thing. He's the most upside. He has the best upside on the market in terms of goaltending. You know what you're getting from the other guys, from the Rollisons, from the Masons, from all those guys. You know what you're getting. Gustafsson, you don't necessarily know what you're getting, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, that's right. Mason, you know what his ceiling is. Gustafsson, you could catch lightning in a bottle. And I'd be willing to bet if any
David
team...
David Moss, it was an incorrect report. David Moss is apparently signed with Phoenix for a 2-year deal, according to Bob McKenzie.
Okay, so that looks like there's some conflicting stories here on Twitter. That's not a surprise with all the news and everything that is going on today in the hockey world. With Jonas Gustafsson, maybe I'm optimistic in thinking that everything Detroit touches turns to gold. But it wouldn't surprise me if Jonas Gustafsson bounces back and really becomes at least a serviceable NHL backup. Mm-hmm. With the Detroit Red Wings.
It's not hard to do that either. But David Moss signing in Phoenix again, we talked about his limited offensive upside.
It's a plug-and-play player.
Yeah, that fits the Phoenix model well. So another player that fits that model.
And another reason why Phoenix will be the most dull team in the NHL next year, especially if they don't re-sign Ray Whitney or Shane Doan. If they don't re-sign Ray Whitney or Shane Doan, I know we say it every year, but how does that team not take a significant step back?
They wouldn't have made the playoffs if it wasn't for those two guys.
Well, yeah, Whitney especially and Doan. Yeah, both of them. You're right. But who knows?
Smith was good, but I mean, Whitney and Doan got the majority of their goals last year.
They get Mihalik back. They've improved their defense.
Yep. Mihalik was a really good signing.
Moss
trade. Good trade.
Can do, maybe can't provide the leadership in the room, but he can provide a fair amount of offense. as compared to Doan, who's slowed down. So Whitney is the key there.
The Los Angeles Kings, who have the best Twitter feed in professional sports and one of the best Twitter feeds on Twitter. From the Kings War Room, the LA Kings have talked about submitting contract offers to free agents. So that's a bit of a shot across the bow of the Minnesota Wild. And they had a tweet a couple days ago when they re-signed, Jonathan Quick to 10 years. The Los Angeles Kings signed Jonathan Quick. What this means is that for the next 11 years, our goaltender will be better than yours. You know, so you might as well have fun. I mean, too many people, they're trying to promote their team, and they did a great job promoting it, even using their Twitter page in addition to all the all the activity that was around and the buzz around the Kings by winning the Stanley Cup, of course.
And so, Drew, it should be noted here, we're on Cap Geek. The Red Wings still have $23 million in cap space after the Gustavson signing. Lots of room to get Suter and Parise.
Yep.
And the Detroit Red Wings, unlike the Jets, they'll sign right up to the ceiling.
Oh, yeah, they'll go to the $70 million. Yep. I mean, the Detroit Red Wings are not happy about being eliminated in the first round last year.
And they're not happy about it.
They're getting old. They're getting younger.
That's right. They lost Nicklas Lidström, and if you can replace Nicklas Lidström with Ryan Suter,
then
if you can bring in Zach Parise, just, not even replacing anybody necessarily, just bring in Zach Parise, those are things that you do when you don't really think twice about it.
They'd like to bring in Parise, as Richie mentioned. Alexander Semin has the connection with Datsyuk.
See him signing all three, for God's sake.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, that wouldn't be.
Wouldn't surprise me.
A team like Detroit has that ability to do that. Not many teams have the ability to do that.
No, they certainly don't. And the Detroit Red Wings are one of those teams, so they may as well take advantage of that while you're at it. Potential trade target, and it's a guy who's been talked about being traded potentially for years upon years upon years, but he just re-signed with the Oilers, is Alex Hemsky. He's under contract 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years at $5 million per year. Would you be interested in Alex Hemsky at 2 years and $5 million per year?
Yeah, it depends on what the price is. You can be interested in everybody depending on what the price is. He's got talent. He can play wing. He can one of the best passers in the league. Sees the ice well. He's a guy you have to make the call on. You have to make the call on a guy like that to see what it's all about. Especially, would he thrive in a city like Nashville or Detroit or wherever it may be. There's many other places that he could thrive in. Vancouver, why don't you make a call on that? That'd be interesting. So there's many other places where, he could fit lots of ways. And remember, it's a $5 million per year, but it's 2 years. So that's the key. It's 2 years. So if it doesn't go right, then you have him for another year and a half, and you're fine. And then you're fine. You get rid of him. So one of the reasons, they signed him to that, if they wanted to at least have some marketability. If they had signed him to a year, it's harder to trade him. Now, we talked about Enstrom here. I'd really like to know how the contract negotiations are going with Enstrom, if they are ongoing, because if a guy like Ryan Suter signs somewhere and the next best defenseman is Jason Garrison,
the next best defenseman is Tobias Enstrom, and you get him for
a year. Exactly. So, Carl.
No, I'm saying Enstrom is better than Garrison. Sorry.
Yeah, so he'd be the next best defenseman on the market if you were trading him, or if you're going to sign him. So, I'd like to know what's going on there. We haven't really heard much.
No, and that'll be interesting. You've heard nothing about Tobias Enstrom, and he's the guy that really everybody's been pointing to for a few months, at least since the season ended at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all quiet so far on the Enstrom front, but that could change in a hurry. Let's go to break. When we come back, some more free agency chatter throughout the NHL. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our Free Agent Frenzy special live on location at the Winnipeg Free Press News Cafe on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the Free Agency Frenzy Edition. We're live on location at the Winnipeg Free Press News Cafe. You can also follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. A lot of chatter out there about Shane Doan, and he's going to be an interesting guy as people have to wait a week in order to negotiate with Shane Doan. It's all, I admire his loyalty, that franchise. He doesn't still need to be that loyal.
He's good.
He's doing it. I'm sure he's doing it largely for his family, because, why would you uproot your family after
being there for 16 years?
I know.
But you can do it at the ranch.
Well, exactly. We all saw Elliot Friedman riding the horse on at the ranch there the other day. That was always amusing. But not the other day, on Salad Hot Stove or The Insider, whatever it was on Hockey Night in Canada. Oilers' Yan Denis signs for $775,000 when he's in the NHL, and $300,000 when he's down in the AHL. It's a big AHL contract.
Well, people think that he could be the guy that can come up and play. So if they're able to trade, he had a
really good numbers last year in the AHL, right? Sorry, in the AHL, he had 2.13 GAA goals against average and a 923 save percentage. So he actually won the best goalie in the AHL award last year. So if they can trade Happy Bulin mid-season with little money left on the, you know, on that terrible contract, and bring Denny up and pair him with Dubnyk, then they have a nice 1-2 kind of young pairing there. Not young, but not a Happy Bulin age, and it's something that makes sense. You know, you have money to spend. Nothing wrong with that. Good move.
Our friend Sam Carcitti, he's a writer in Philadelphia, reports that the Flyers have made offers to Zach Parise, Ryan Suter, and Matt Carl today. And the Flyers would certainly consider it a successful day if they can get two of those three done. But they want Carl more than anything. Maybe not more than anything, but Carl's the guy that you can't go 0-for-3 on those guys.
No, you can't. And John Mitchell, according to Darren Dreger, not a guy any close to the scale that you just mentioned, Drew, is close to signing with the Colorado Avalanche for 2 years. The guy who's,
where was John Mitchell last year? Toronto?
The Rangers at the end of the year.
He's
a speedy guy, really good skater, can play a fourth line center role, and he can play, you know. So a guy they're bringing in there in Colorado, nothing special. But you mentioned Philly, Drew, and Matt Carl and Parise and Suter. Yeah, they need to hit on minimum Carl. Minimum.
Yeah, because if you take Carl off that back end there,
you can replace him.
You can replace him, but you've lost Pronger and Carl then in the last 2 days.
Is to replace him, Drew, then it's going to cost you more than money. It's going to cost you assets.
That's right. Anything you have to get where in via trade, you mean. I mean, you look at the Flyers back end, and then they'd have Mezeros, and they'd have Shen, and they'd have Coburn,
and they have Grossman,
Grossman. Yeah. So it's not a dearth of talent there. You're okay with those are some four NHL defensemen there, so you're okay in that front. But it's that's the guy. Rare is the day that Philadelphia targets a guy and doesn't get him.
It is rare. You know, once Paul Holmgren sets his mind to it, it's tough.
Exactly. So I mean, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out as we go along here.
According to Fire Analogy of TSN, problem in Vancouver with Sammy Salo. Maybe he wants 2 years. Next, only one offer one.
Well, Sammy Salo gets injured for... if he signed for a two-year contract, he'd be injured for a year.
You need him on Twitter. So, yeah, you know, all that happens here really is any kind of... Is he any kind of negotiations that have kind of gone sideways for a while, you know, over 1 or 2 years, that just becomes public knowledge now, because the agent wants to get it out there that, hey, Vancouver won't give us 2 years. But if you give us 2 years... We'll come there,
right?
And that's what happens. So before that, they don't want to, don't want to anger the teams that they're dealing with. But once it's July 1, it's fair game, and they say, okay, you know, we can only get 1 year here. Who wants to give us two? It's like what Gonchar did in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. Pittsburgh could only give him 2 years. Ottawa give him three. He went to Ottawa.
Well, I mean, you know, because you want as much certainty as you can get. It's not. I mean, you're only getting paid when you're under contract. So if somebody's willing to offer you a salary for 3 years at a time, wouldn't you want that as opposed to 2 years?
It depends on the player, but yeah, I mean, it's more money at the end, right? So.
Well, I mean, the problem, and I understand the concept. I mean, who was it? It was Marian Hossa who was taking 1 year deal. He took a 1 year deal to go to Detroit that year, right?
And a 10 year deal.
And then he got a 10 year deal. But if something happens to Marian Hossa in that 1 year, you know, then he's in trouble.
Yeah, I mean.
So I mean, there is a risk. There's a legitimate risk in.
It's true.
In signing a 1 year deal,
especially with concussions.
I mean, if you're not, you know, Sidney Crosby, Pierre LeBrun saying that Sidney Crosby has reached out to Zach Parise as part of the Pittsburgh Penguins pitch.
And that goes back to what we were saying with the history of Sidney Crosby being coached by J.P. Parise. So that's what that's all about. So, you know, if Parise goes to Pittsburgh. That's absolutely massive.
Well, it's not that massive until they do something with their back end. Their defense back there is pretty thin.
It's thin right now. Yeah, they have young players that they have high expectations for. As my colleague said on our show, the difference, of course, is the core of the forwards are ready to go right now. So your defensemen ready to go. As the defense stands right now, there's some trouble back there. That's right. Especially with Mihalik gone. So. Might be actually, to me, if you're going to make that run, it's better to sign Suter than Parise.
I would take Suter over Parise. You're pretty well loaded in terms of offense. Yes. So, I mean, that's not really an area of concern for you. Especially, you know, any team that's got Malkin and Crosby, you don't really have to worry about. And James Neal, who, I mean, is a 40-goal scorer. So you're okay there. Ryan Suter is not meeting face-to-face with teams. So the talk that Mike Ilitch and Chris Chelios and Gordie Howe
Bucky Gleason of the Buffalo News is reporting that the Sabres are still interested in Bobby Ryan, but that Bobby Ryan wants to play for a team with a true number one center. Wow, okay.
Like the team he plays for?
Yeah, man, good point.
Like so,
Bucky Gleason, who's well-respected in the industry, is reporting that Ryan to Philly sounds more likely, of course. Who wouldn't want to play with Claude Giroux?
Sam Krejci further reporting that the Philadelphia Flyers have not yet made an offer to Jaromir Jagr and that Jagr is high on the Montreal Canadiens wish list.
He was originally when he signed with the Philadelphia Flyers. That's not surprising because they need scoring, and you know you're going to sign him to a one-year deal. I can't see anything.
And you know
I can't see him getting signed to anything more than a one-year deal.
And they're a team that has a lot of speed. And not a lot of size, and Jagr's the opposite. He's not that fast, but he has a lot of size. And he would fit well on a second or third line there. So he would be a guy that would make sense in Montreal.
A guy who's getting a lot of chatter is Brandon Prust, the ex of the New York Rangers.
Apparently Pierre Maguire's giving him a lot of chatter.
That's what I'm seeing. And, you know, the Leafs are a potential destination, have been rumored as a potential landing spot for him. What does he bring to the table that, you know, that a lot of people might not necessarily know about Brandon Prust?
He's a tough guy.
He's a tough guy. He can toss in a little bit of offense. He can play, a responsible defensive game, play along the boards. Yeah, you know, he's the kind of guy that gets overpaid on free agent day. A guy who's valuable, but gets overpaid. Bob McKenzie's saying that at the end of the day, Ryan Suter's going to get 10 years minimum with an average annual salary of $7 million, average annual cap of $7 million. That'll include $28 million in the first 2 years. So clearly what you're getting there is his agent leaking what he's asking for.
Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Might as well, establish the ground rules, set the base, and say, go. This is what it's going to take. Don't come and talk to us. Don't waste our time if you're not coming with something, with this benchmark. You know, that way everybody knows what their game is, and they can decide ahead of time if they're going to be interested or if they're going to bail out on it. I don't have a problem with that. What else is coming up here? Sammy Paulson has apparently gone back to Sweden to finish off his NHL career.
Yeah, you know, he was a guy that the Canucks had high hopes for when acquiring him from Columbus to play a nice defensive
game. That was
a move we liked at the trade deadline.
Yeah, it made some sense, and he didn't end up being able to play that defensive role that he once was. He adds nothing in the way of offense. So, you know, if he can't play can't do enough for you defensively, then he's a non-factor. And he can go back to Sweden. He's made a lot of money in his career. He's won a cup. Go back to Sweden and be closer to his family and play.
Here's an interesting bit of news. Brian Burke, today is the Toronto Pride Festival.
Yeah.
The Toronto Pride Parade. Brian Burke is marching in that Toronto Pride Parade with his son Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Brian Burke is not paying that much attention to the free agency world in the NHL.
I mean, Drew, everything's decided beforehand. How much who you're interested in, how much you'll pay a guy, what the top end is, etc. Dave Nonis.
I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying that
I don't think it really matters.
For everybody that gets all, you know, beyond hyped up over this and everything else, this is an NHL general manager who's put that aside to go march in a pride parade.
I
give him credit for it. Obviously in memory of his son who passed away. But, I mean, it's just interesting, you know, the other side of that, you know, you have this picture of everybody hunkered down in the war room and, you know, it's a bunker and it's windowless and nobody's going anywhere and Brian Burke's out marching in a parade.
That's not how I envisioned it, but...
Well, maybe that's just me. It's quite possible that... Darren Dreger says that the Toronto Maple Leafs have placed a call to Martin Brodeur's agent just to make an initial inquiry.
Yeah, and Marty Brodeur's not going to Toronto.
Just because it's not a fit there?
He could go to possibly Tampa. He could go to Chicago. He's going to go to Toronto with a team that's just a bunch of parts all together and a pressure cooker with no upside of winning a cup. Why would he want to go there?
You have to factor that in. I mean, Marty, you're right, Richie. It's funny. When it was announced that Martin Brodeur was getting Pat Brisson, Toronto, for some reason, emerged as the number one destination. It's not... You have to. This is Marty Brodeur. You have to factor in where he's in his career. He would rather probably wait. I still think there's a chance he's going to stay in New Jersey, but I think he would rather. He would rather wait. And
do you
decide
think?
What,
well, the fact it's come this. The fact it's come to this point. Do you get the impression there might? I mean, I can't believe there'd be bad blood there at this point, given all the history there.
I don't think he picks anywhere. I don't think he picks Toronto over Chicago.
Why hasn't New Jersey got this done then? You know what it's going to take. It's not going to take a ton of money. It's going to take $4 million, maybe
$5 million. We don't know what's going on there. We don't know what's going on with their money.
Do they not have $4 million to spend on an NHL goaltender on the face of their franchise? Even if the NHL is bankrolling that team, like I suspect they are.
I mean, they did just sign all those fourth liners, so
I mean, wouldn't you rather have? I mean, wouldn't you rather have, take that money for those fourth liners and pay it to Marty Brodeur?
Well, how can the New Jersey Devils? But Drew, that's more like that's more in terms of perception in the marketplace, right? Because the truth of the matter is, Marty Brodeur, aside from his playoff stellar performance in the playoffs, has not been a very good NHL goaltender for the past two, three years. So you're paying him based on the reputation and all that stuff. You're not paying him based on performance.
Sometimes you have to pay Marty Brodeur as the face of your franchise in order to keep your franchise viable. That's all I'm saying on that point. Let's go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about Bobby Ryan and the question, what would he require, what would Anaheim want from Philly in order to acquire Bobby Ryan? You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our special Free Agency Frenzy Edition, live on location at the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the program. The 12 o'clock hour has hit. The NHL free agency is still going on. The big names have not been signing. It's been mainly depth players so far. What does Pierre LeBrun says that the Blackhawks have not reached out to Marty Brodeur as of yet.
But Elliot Friedman was speculating that that's going to happen, and I would trust that that's going to be the case. I can't see how they wouldn't reach out to him, Drew, if he is available.
It makes sense. It makes so much sense.
A veteran team with a lot of talent who's had problems in net.
Yeah, they've confirmed that the Avs have signed John Mitchell and Matt Karkner.
So Matt Karkner is the guy who's probably going to replace Shane O'Brien. I think Shane O'Brien's a pending UFA, UFA now, not pending anymore. And Shane O'Brien's kind of that... you know, nasty kind of defenseman. Now this one's a left-handed shooting guy. One's a right-handed shooting guy. Yeah, he likes to party. Matty Karkner is going to be that kind of tough guy on the back end, especially with the young players. You know, Deshane and Stasi's not so young anymore, but Deshane and Landeskog and Ryan O'Reilly, they got a lot of young guys there, so you get a little bit more of a seasoned guy who can drop the mitts and he can play your third pairing. Why not?
Yeah, doesn't hurt you at all there. Certainly doesn't hurt. Before we went to break, I asked you the question, Bobby Ryan. It sounds like the Philadelphia Flyers might be the destination where he ends up based on his irrational demands, really. You know,
They've really coveted him for a long time.
They've kind of pushed him out the door there, too, Drew. Yeah.
I know they have, but I mean, now he's demanding where to go. I think we're actually going to check in before we get to Bobby Ryan. I think we have Brian Munns down at the MTS Center. Brian, are you there?
Absolutely.
How are things over there? Any excitement so far down at the MTS Center? Is everyone just sort of staring at their clocks and hoping and praying that some news comes soon?
Yeah, we're staring at the same clock you guys are. Actually, to be honest with you, Tim Campbell from the Free Press and I are just kind of wandering around inside the Jets defense zone right now inside a huge empty arena and continuing to wait like the rest of the hockey world.
That's what it is. It's the hurry up and wait day. We're going to dub free agency frenzy hurry up and wait day for next year. But so not a lot of chatter. Everybody's sort of just keeping and waiting and making their offers, and hopefully the floodgates will open sometime in the next little while.
Yeah, and really that's what it's all about. I think when you look at this day for most people, everybody's tuned into seeing what Zach Parise is doing, and then trying to have the dominoes fall from there. Now, it is a little bit interesting based on the fact that, they say the Winnipeg Jets have thrown their hat into the ring. Is it realistic? Probably not. But at the end of the day, it's good for Kevin Shevin to show the top players that they are definitely interested in having right now the number one name join their hockey club if something was able to come to fruition. But I think on this day we're going to see a lot more of what we've seen today. Even over the next couple of days, Derek Meach continuing to add depth inside the organization. Jason King can have another solid year and help the young prospects out in St. John's in the American Hockey League. So that's kind of where things are sitting right now, and we're all just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen here in the near future.
And when news breaks, you will be there live on the scene. Brian Munns, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN 1290. Thanks very much for the update.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Take care. Thanks, Brian.
Brian Allen, John Shannon saying that Brian Allen, no chance of going to Ottawa. That was speculated earlier.
That Brian Allen might be a potential destination for the...
Says that's no-go.
So, okay. Well, the Ottawa Senators will need to replace Philippe Kubla. Granted, if they end up re-signing him, then they don't need to replace him.
You have to wonder if a guy like Jared Cowan will get more ice time. He's starting to come along. Kubla, his offense needs to be replaced a little bit, but Ottawa's active right now. Ottawa is a team that they know that that they've got Carlson under contract. They're on the rise. Alfredson, is he going to come back?
A lot of questions.
They're active. They're looking to sign players right now.
And they were in on Rick Nash, and I mean, you know, they can still try and convince them.
Nothing wrong with getting in the picture and getting out there.
Yeah, they're sort of, exactly right. Make yourself open for business, and you're only going to attract yourself to the free agents.
Apparently, the Oilers are interested in Mark Methot from Columbus.
Yeah.
That's Portland's reporting that Jimmy Matheson's talking about that right now. So,
is he a free agent?
No, he's under contract, so it'd be a trade.
It would be a trade that they'd be interested in. TSN points out that historically on free agency day, hour two is the busiest of the hours during the free agent frenzy period. So hopefully that comes to fruition.
In the first half hour
Of that hour before we have to head out to Goldeyes Baseball, of course. But we'll keep you abreast of any and all moves involving the Winnipeg Jets throughout Goldeyes coverage. Just leave your dial locked on TSN 1290, as you always do, undoubtedly.
Pretty funny, Drew. Jeremy Brodeur, who is Martin Brodeur's son, he plays at Shattuck St. Mary's, just tweeted, "I don't want to be a Blackhawks fan."
Well, I'm sure he wants to. He's never seen his dad in a different jersey other than a Devils jersey, so I don't blame him whatsoever there at all.
It's just going to be weird to see Roeder in a different jersey if that's the case, but we'll wait and see what happens because...
Are you going to be okay with that? I mean, I
have to be okay with that.
You might have the most trouble with that of anybody I know, I'm trying to think.
Well, I mean, it's Marty Brodeur. I mean...
Craig Cousins reporting that Carolina made an offer on Parise. So Carolina, a team that's been rumored to be willing to spend a lot of money, and rumored to be after anybody who they can spend money on, apparently proven to be true.
I'm curious, like, where did the Hurricanes all of a sudden get all this extra money from?
That's a good question, Drew.
You know, I mean,
it's a wonder. They haven't spent a lot of money for a while now, so
they have a passionate fan base in Carolina. It's not a huge fan base, but there is a group of people who are dedicated Canes fans, and I believe the Carolina Hurricanes probably will be a. I mean, I think they'll be a playoff team this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially acquiring Jordan Staal.
I think that they will be. I don't know, it's no guarantees, but I think they should be.
Yeah.
But I mean, many of these teams are the same, right? So.
And it's one thing if, you know, acquiring a guy, you know, once you acquire Jordan Staal, they knew they had to pay him. And paying him $6 million a year is relatively reasonable. I mean, you know, and then but if you're in on Parise, you know, we know that it's going to cost you $24 million dollars in the first calendar year Parise.
That's right.
So you want Parise? It's not going to be cheap. Normally, it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be pretty expensive.
Thanks for that update, Darazzi. The insight that you can only get here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our free agency special live on location at the Winnipeg Free Press News Cafe. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. About 8 minutes past the top of the hour here, and we are continuing to wait for the next signings to come in. Some of the bottom tier guys sort of got done in that first hour. And
in the goalie market, that was hardly existed to begin with, has already been, you know, chiseled down a bit, right?
Well, Jonas Gustafsson and Scott Clemenson are both off the books.
And Michael Layton, not that he, but you know, he's on the list, right? So who's available there? I mean, it's not much right now.
Marty Brodeur. It's Marty Brodeur. And if anybody decides that they want to be in on Roberto Luongo via trade.
Yep.
And, you know, we've discussed ad nauseum at this point that we're not quite sure why anybody would want to be in on that by a trade. So the question is Marty Brodeur, and can you picture Marty Brodeur in being any other jersey besides that of the New Jersey Devils?
And even though we're still waiting for Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, and as Richie mentioned earlier, Ryan Suter's not getting signed today, most likely. But, you know, even the secondary guys, Richie.
It'll be a New Jersey instead of New Jersey for Brodeur.
And even other guys like
the
secondary guys like Alexander Semin and all these other guys, Dustin Penner, you know, those signings are to come. So, you know, we're only an hour early, an hour in, but there's a lot of moves that have to be made because, you know, those are three players, two players. Parise and Suter, only two teams are going to get those guys.
That's right. You know, that's what we talk about, the ramifications of the other players. Apparently, Joe Corvo signed with Carolina.
Joe Corvo, $2 million.
He used to be on Carolina.
So, it says Chip Alexander.
Back and forth.
1 year, $2 million for Joe Corvo. He seems like a guy who plays either in Ottawa, Carolina, or Boston.
Yeah, and Joe Corvo is a guy. It's odd because they have Justin Falk and then they have Jamie McBain. So they have right-handed shooting offensive defenseman on Carolina. And Corvo is... to be honest, I don't think any better than either of those two guys. So is he going to play is he going to be your third pairing defenseman who can move the puck out of his own zone and not ever go into the corners because he's worried about contact? and maybe quarterback your second power play unit. If that's the case, then you have him, and then you have Pickett in there, and you have Gleason, so you have to fill your other slot with another defenseman, unless you want to bring somebody up in the system. So I don't like Corvo, but it's fine, so long as he's playing a proper role. And it's a one-year deal, so you really can't go wrong with those.
And it looks like that Peters is also a two-year deal in Carolina. What Peters is that?
Jared Peters?
Yeah. Moving briefly to basketball, if you want, the ESPN reports that the Toronto Raptors have offered Steve Nash $36 million over 3 years. So that would be $12 million a year for Steve Nash, as the basketball free agency world has opened up today. But they cannot, that's what we were talking about earlier. Basketball free agency opens up today. You can talk to people starting today, but you can't officially sign anybody until next, I think, 1 week from today.
I don't mind it this way, though. Well, I like it this way better.
But, you know, you get a whole day of coverage out of it this way. That's certainly the case. People are going crazy about the Steve Nash thing, but I don't think $12 million a year for Steve Nash is that much.
No. But are we talking about basketball right now?
No, we're not. I'm getting my basketball 2 cents.
Stu Bickel resigns with the Rangers. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. If he wasn't good enough to play for the team in the Stanley Cup playoffs, why is he good enough now? How's Stu Bickel?
He's a black ace, Richie. He's a black ace.
Yeah, black ace being a practice roster player.
They didn't trust him, so he's re-upping. That's fine.
But you're right, Drew. I mean, that's a guy. I mean, he's a tough guy.
I'll tell you what. If they don't improve their back end besides Stu Bickel, then the Rangers are going to be in the same position they were last year.
The Rangers, it's funny. You know, we hear this. The Rangers are one of those teams that like to have tough guys. The Devils like to have tough guys.
Yep.
The Leafs like to have tough guys. The Jets have a few guys, but...
So you're now getting the word
Pierre LeBrun. Yeah, exactly. The Blackhawks have now reached out to Marty Brodeur, to Pat Brisson, his agent, the first agent he signed in years, Marty Brodeur. He had always done the negotiations directly with Lou Lamoriello and the Devils on his own.
Right.
So Marty Brodeur has now been contacted by the Chicago Blackhawks organization. So you'll see how that plays out.
That's a no-brainer.
If you're the Blackhawks, you make that happen. You make that happen. There's your, you know... Even if he's... You keep Corey Crawford around, and you know, there's worse things that Corey Crawford can do than spend a year learning from Marty Brodeur.
Yep.
You know, a guy who's an expert.
And I think Corey Crawford, I think they're both from Montreal, actually, so you get a little bit of that, too.
I would hope, though, that it's not that Marty Brodeur as a Chicago Blackhawk, if it happens, isn't like, you know, Joe Namath as a Los Angeles Ram, you know, where, you know, Willie Mays as a... who did Mays finish his career with?
Well, you were like 12 when that happened.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Exactly. I mean, I think it was the Mets he finished his career with or something like that. You know, you don't want to see that necessarily happen where he can't play, but I don't think Marty Brodeur's there yet.
It just came on Twitter, too. The Jets have apparently reached out to Tutu and Asham.
Where do you see both Manitoba boys? If that's the case, it's Manitoba boys there.
That's where you see
at the underscore Creasy.
Well, we don't know who that is, so we may not have wanted to say that.
He works in an NHL-related field. He has 4,000.
Are you just reading anybody's tweets right now?
Hold on. He works in an NHL-related field, and he has 4,000 followers.
You almost have 4,000 followers, and you work in an NHL-related field.
Yeah, but most of your tweets...
Whether you want to say that's credible or not.
Anyhow, but anyway, those are guys that we've been speculating, have been speculated to be associated with. Yeah, Remus is hollering. I would agree with Remus.
I would agree with Remus on this one, Ezzy. We're going to have to...
And they're signing both.
We're going to cut your mic while we go to commercial here.
Based on every Ezzy prediction so far, it's been right. So.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Let's go to break. We'll come back. We've got one final segment. We'll hopefully get some signings in before Goldeyes Baseball starts. You're listening to TSN 1290, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at the Winnipeg Free Press News Cafe. Happy Canada Day, everybody. Welcome back to the program. One final segment live here at the Winnipeg Free Press News Cafe. Goldeyes Baseball coming up here on the station. They'll keep you abreast of everything Jets related. If the Jets do make any moves throughout the Goldeyes game, Paul Edmonds will keep you up to date. A move from Ottawa, Mike Lundin to Ottawa, signs there for 1 year, $1.15 million. Defenseman, what does he bring to the table to Ottawa there, Richie?
Just a solid guy, nothing special. He was in Tampa. He actually played quite well at Tampa 2 years ago and then went to Minnesota and didn't play. Didn't play at all, really. I'm trying to remember why he didn't play. But he is a guy who can, you know, he can do everything fine. He's a bottom guy, you know, 6'7 guy. You can come in. He's actually a bigger guy. He moves all right. And he can just, you know, nothing special there. Mike Lundin will fill the 6'7 role kind of for the Ottawa Senators there, similar to Matt Carkner, but a little bit better with the puck and a better overall defenseman, just not as physical.
We had mentioned Stu Bickel. He re-signs in New York for 2 years and $750,000 per year.
That's what it was. Lundin had hernia surgery in March, which is what Michael Russo is confirming here.
There you go. Sounds reasonable. Now, about 20 minutes ago, I asked you to talk about Bobby Ryan and what he was going to take for the Philadelphia Flyers. We got sidetracked with some signings there. What do you think about Bobby Ryan to Philly? How does that fit in? What is it going to take for Philly to give up to get Bobby Ryan?
It's a really good question, Drew, because you're trading forward for forward here. I mean, Anaheim has a need on the back end for sure, but they also have a need at forward. I mean, they need depth all around. So what will it take from Philly? It really depends on what Bob Murray wants in Anaheim. But you look at Philly's roster, they've kind of, you know, their young talent is talent that they have on the roster right now. So are you giving up a Shen or giving up a Couturier to make it happen? Likely not. I mean, are you giving up a package of a Voracek and a defenseman kind of thing? Maybe, but Bobby Ryan can score 35, 40 goals in the NHL.
That's what Aaron Portsline was saying yesterday, that to get Rick Nash, they'd have to give up a Braden Shen, and I believe a defenseman.
Right.
I don't think they want to give up Braden Shen, to be honest with you. Philadelphia is a weird situation. I mean, Ryan Suter makes sense, because they're replacing Pronger. They know he's not going to come back. But to Braden Shen, it turns out that was a pretty good move. So I don't know. I mean, you don't want to overpay in this situation. So
Luke DeCock of the Rally News and Observer, he's got a quote from Jim Rutherford. They made offers to Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. They didn't tell us no right off the bat, is what Hurricanes GM Jim Rutherford says. If we don't get Parise, we'll be back in the trade market immediately. So they sound like they're gearing up for something.
That's what we're talking about the Enstrom now. We're talking about defensemen and forwards, but, you know, Carolina has a need on the left side of their defense, and if a guy like Suter doesn't go there, then maybe a guy like Enstrom isn't play. So that's the thing. If you're a Jets fan, you're wondering what's going to happen there. They're re-signing or a trade, but this is the kind of market. The team doesn't get what they want, and then they have a need that they want to fill, and they want to trade for it.
That's right. We're speculating, but it seems like the trade market for the Winnipeg Jets might be even more significant than the free agency market for the Winnipeg Jets this year. I mean, especially, like you said, if some of these teams get desperate and they lose out on the guy that they think really needs to fill their void, and there's nobody else suitable on the market, everybody knows that a top-notch defenseman would probably be available, at least for conversation, in Winnipeg.
Right.
I mean, and that's what Toby Enstrom is. You know, there's nobody. If he was an unrestricted free agent, like he is going to be next year on this day,
he'd get big money.
He'd get big money, and right now he'd be the second best defenseman on the free agency market.
Exactly right.
And I mean, the third best player probably overall.
Yeah.
And I mean,
depending on your interpretation of
if he was a free agent this
Semin
year. Talent-wise, nobody's considering.
But anyhow,
high.
Just for Jets fans, in terms of if they don't sign somebody now, the trade market's there, and that doesn't mean necessarily trading a big player, as it could be trading for a smaller player.
Kirk Muller has spoken to Zach Parise as well in Carolina.
Well, everybody's going to be speaking to Zach Parise. The guy's going to be answering the phone. Sidney Crosby's going to call him. And then,
how does a guy like Zach Parise, Richie, talk to anybody when?
Yeah, like, what are they going to say? Oh, come here, it's great. Everybody's
50 people
cool.
At once.
Everybody's cool. The weather's great. You're a big superstar. You get to play with me. Is that what Crosby said? Hey, man, come play. You can play. You can play with me. Probably said we can play together. But, you know, I don't think it was a long conversation. I'm pretty sure Zach Parise, before Sidney Crosby called him, knew he could play with Sidney Crosby if he went to Pittsburgh.
We'd mentioned the Justin Peters deal in Carolina. He gets $525,000 to play in the NHL and $105,000 in the AHL. And then on a one-way deal in 2013-2014, he gets $550,000. You know, Brian Boucher is out for 4 to 6 months. He had been the backup in Carolina. Justin Peters would probably expect to fill that role. Bob McKenzie says goaltender Jeff Zatkoff, who's in Pittsburgh, gets a two-year, two-way deal, $5.25 in the NHL, $105,000 in the AHL.
That was a waste of our 20 seconds of time right there.
Sorry, I do what I can every now and then.
Well, you're reporting all the news, Drew, so I'll give you
credit. I'm reporting the news, exactly.
There's three former offers on the table for George Parros, according to Darren Drager. That's I don't know what to say about that.
Well, you know, George Parros will play, you know, he'll play a role for a team. It, you know, won't be a significant one.
You know,
but
George Parros is a big boy, good in the room, and he's, you know, he can play your fourth line right wing spot and
good
be
skater.
Fine.
Smart.
As long as you're on a bench, he's a bright guy.
If you need to add something in intelligence to your room, if you need somebody to do the team crossword, George Parros
can
do that.
He's kind of an awkward skater. It kind of looks like Sandy McCarthy out there a bit. But you know what? He's not going to command too much money, and he's a guy that'll keep your room light, can fight, stick up for guys, and
Score the best mustache in the business.
Yeah, he put a few goals behind the tender.
Yeah, he doesn't hurt anything. You know, he knows his role, so he's not going to cost a lot, but he might as well.
It's a big sports day between the MLB All-Star lineups, the NBA free agency, and the NHL free agency. I mean, everywhere you look, somebody's getting signed. Ezzie just signed an autograph.
Oh, Ezzie signed an autograph.
I wish.
And unconfirmed reports coming through on Twitter is that reports of Ezzie reaching out for more bacon.
Oh.
Somebody tweeted that.
Well, we can confirm that.
Oh, we can confirm
we
that
can
you
confirm
did reach
it.
Out for more bacon? Okay.
I did.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. That's a lot of bacon for one guy, but that's okay. We wouldn't expect anything else from you there, Ezzie.
I mean, I expect Parise to get done soon. I don't expect Suter to get done right away, based on what we've heard. But we haven't heard one thing on a guy like Seven. Sometimes it's the guys you don't hear at all about that's signed.
Yep. It's sort of surprising that, I mean, Semin has got nothing at all. Not a
but
one,
if you're Detroit,
not,
if you're
not
Detroit,
word
you're,
one about
you're Detroit
Semin.
And you're interested about in Semin, you're making your calls Parise and Suter first.
Oh, of course.
Right? And the question is he getting an offer in the interim that's good enough that it make him say, I'm not waiting for you because I don't want to get left out to dry? That's the game. That's why they got agents. That's why, you know, that's the game they're playing right now.
It certainly seems like a candidate for that one-year deal like we spoke about before, just given the attitude and the lack of effort and everything else that we've seen from Alex Semin. It's not surprised that mm-hmm. you know, nobody's, you know, breaking down his door to get after him. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Does he want to be, you know, if he signs a one-year deal, if that's all he's getting is a one-year offer and he tanks in that 1 year, he could be out of the league.
Bryce Salvador has considerable interest from other teams.
Bryce Salvador, apparently the New York Islanders are big on Bryce Salvador.
Well, I mean, if I were Bryce Salvador, I would never be big on the New York Islanders.
Yeah, they play him six times a year, and they're used to him dominating their forwards down low, so that's understandable. But apparently he's waiting to see what happens with Parise and Brodeur. So.
Yeah, what is going on in Jersey? That's not the million-dollar question. That's the $100 million question.
Yeah, and everyone's leaving. It's I mean, you don't want to
What was that?
You don't want to think that it's a Chicago situation, but it seems like everyone is leaving here.
Well, you know what? Because why would if you're a free agent and you are interested in New Jersey, are you going to go there without Brodeur and without Parise?
Well, no. And if they're signing, they're not signing free agents. They can't sign those guys, right?
That's
right. Issues money here.
The New Jersey Devils, if they can't sign Brodeur, never mind Parise. If they can't sign Brodeur, are in serious trouble as a franchise.
Maybe, but we'll see.
I agree with that.
I think that's a pretty. How are they going to be able to get to the floor?
Well, they got lots of money on the books still.
Well, besides Kovalchuk,
is Alexa Yashin available?
Zajac and a bunch of guys, Drew, the Zubers. They got a lot of guys in the books.
Okay, well, I mean,
but it's just a matter of it's the optics of everything, and if they want to contend, and they went to the finals last year.
Zenon Konopka, 2 year deal with the Minnesota Wild.
Well, Konopka is actually a guy who's like a fighter, fourth line center fighter, limited offensive skills, really good on faceoffs.
Yeah, he's a great faceoff. He's
so
a faceoff
not only
specialist.
Does he bring the tough guy element, but he's big on faceoffs. So that's the kind of guy you're going to throw in the fourth line to protect the younger players, the Granlunds and the Coils and the guys you're bringing up. And you're not the biggest team in the world. And he's so, you know what, I actually like Konopka. I'm fine with that. 2 year deal isn't anything terrible.
I think it's good for, and it's good for Minnesota that.
And Remus loves his name, that more importantly.
Well, it's a good name. It's the best name in hockey.
Yeah.
Zenon Konopka is by
it
far
is,
the
that's
best,
true.
Good name.
That's
best
true.
Name. Isn't he North American?
Yeah, he's from Ottawa area.
He's from Ottawa, and his name's Zenon Konopka. Yes. So, I mean, there you go. There's your trivia note for the rest of the day.
Was Sheldon going to call you Zenon if it wasn't Andrew?
I think so. It was between, my parents were between Zenon and
Sheldon's pointing at me. You like that one.
I'm sure he did.
At least Sheldon finds me funny. You don't find me funny.
I don't find you funny at all. And I promise you, if Sheldon spent as much time with you as I do, he wouldn't find you funny either. The crowd like that one, though. Leave it on a high note.
Leave it on a high note.
Leave it on a high note there. Yeah. Like Seinfeld, you know, always leave them wanting more.
Yeah.
You know what? Stay tuned to the station for Gold Eyes Baseball coming up. We will keep you updated on anything that breaks regarding the Winnipeg Jets. You know, stay tuned to Twitter, to TSN's coverage on TV. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com. For Michael Remus, for Ezra Ginsberg, for Richard Pollock, for producer Tim back at the station, for producer Colin here on site. I think Rack is back there as well. Thank you very much for listening. This has been a special edition of the Illegal Curve free agency special live on location at the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe. Stay tuned for Winnipeg Gold Eyes Baseball. You're listening to TSN 1290.